This week, a short piece about a secret idea and some secret movements by Aldo Leopold's students to make his life a little bit better, and theirs too. It's from My Double Life, Memoirs of a Naturalist by Frances Hammerstrom. She was a student of Leopold's, and she tells this story in the chapter called But It's Already Done. Aldo Leopold was known by many of his students simply as the professor, as though there were no other professors on the University of Wisconsin campus. His office in 1938 was a small, badly lit room in the basement of the old Soils building. To enter it, one passed through a sort of vestibule used by the campus gardener as a potting shed. The potting shed was also the only office of the professor's 6 graduate students. We kept a banister brush hidden under the big table we used for making graphs, preparing specimens, and studying, so we could brush away begonia leaves, wet earth, and the fragments of flower pots that the gardener left behind. Leonard Wing, one of his students, refused to work in the potting shed and tried to get the rest of us to keep it picked up so the entrance to the professor's office would make a good impression. Late one afternoon, Wing, his dark eyes sparkling with suppressed excitement, whispered, "I've found a whole empty building on the campus. We're going to move the professor. Bring your car at 8. It'll be dark by then. You tell Hawkins and I'll tell Wade." We met at 8 o'clock. Wing said, "I've found 2 wheelbarrows. Let's get the top of the Hammerstrom's car down right away. The big things go on the car. I'll keep an eye out for the night watchman and the campus cops. If you hear the call of a barred owl, it's the signal. Watch out. And you, Hawkins, take off that white sweater. It shows a mile away." I hung the sweater over Leopold's desk lamp so passers-by would be less apt to see what we were up to. We packed and moved all the books, all the reprints, all the maps, the duck decoys, and the furniture into a roomy, empty building that had once been a dwelling. We moved everything, and then, to convert the whole ground floor into Leopold's possession and fill the place up, we moved tables and chairs and bookcases from our own quarters and arranged them to occupy as many rooms as possible. As a final touch, I picked some flowers from the campus gardens and put them in a mason jar on Leopold's desk. Exhausted and somewhat grubby, we waited for Leopold's arrival the next morning. The professor came down the path at a brisk pace. Leonard Wing, whose sense of the dramatic far surpasses mine, announced, "Your office isn't here anymore. Follow me." Wing led the way to 424 University Farm Place. He threw the front door open and announced, "This room will be for seminars. It has a fireplace for winter seminars, and it can hold 40 people. Wing moved to the adjoining room. "Your office." Sunlight poured in through big bay windows. All the books were in position on shelves that left room for more, and Leopold's pipe rested on the ashtray on his desk. Wing let Leopold take it all in for a moment or two and then announced, "There's more. This room is for graduate students. It needs more desks." He moved us on to the former kitchen. "This is the laboratory. It needs painting. We'll do that this afternoon." Then he led the way to the pantry. "This is the dark room. We'll paint it black, and it has running water, too." Finally, he opened a door leading us to a room almost as big as the professor's former office. "We could use this for storage, and there's plenty of storage space in the basement, too." Leopold asked, "How did this come about?" Wing's deep voice answered pompously, "The other office was not suitable for you." The rest of us explained how we had managed to move with 2 wheelbarrows and 1 car between 2 days. Leopold sat on the edge of his chair and telephoned the authorities. We could hear only his end of the conversation. "You say that the building has already been assigned to another department?" "Yes, I understand perfectly. What I'm trying to explain is not that I wish to move my office. It's already done." "No, just the ground floor, the whole ground floor." At last, Leopold settled back in his desk chair, reached for his pipe and lit it slowly. He didn't need to say a word. He was smiling. And so were we. In those days, not everybody knew that Aldo Leopold was a great man, but his students did. 424 University Farm Place was the address of Leopold's department for the rest of his life. And sometimes when I hear a barred owl call, I remember that night and the dread with which we listened for footsteps, police whistles, and for the warning that never came. That's a wonderful story, how much his students loved Leopold. And for a little added treat, I'll give you a recording from the Macaulay Library of the Cornell Lab of Ornithology, a barred owl duet. This is Maggie Jones and Natural Wonders. Thanks for listening.